Welcome back to Strength is More Than a Word podcast with your host, Leo Burnside. Last episode, we touched on who I am, why I created this podcast, and what strength meant to me. Today, I'm fortunate enough to have someone with me to share their story.
Hi, thank you for having me. My name is Natalie. I'm a senior in high school, so I'm really excited to be here. I've also played soccer like Leo and dealt with a few injuries of my own. So
I guess we're going to straight off the bat with the intro. Who are you? And what's something, one thing that's pretty unique about you?
Yeah, this was really funny because I was talking to my mom about this yesterday and I was like, I can't really think of something really that relates to me sports-wise that's unique about me. But I can say when I was little, like a toddler, I would say hi to literally every single stranger that I would see. Even when I was crying in the stroller because we weren't going to the park, I would stop and say hi. So, I don't know. I like to think I'm still like that. I like to meet new people a lot, so.
Yeah, for sure. That's funny. That's the opposite of me when I was younger. I was an introvert.
Yeah.
What does strength mean to you? I think that's the broad question that is going to be asked to every episode now, is because this is what the work, because like the title is such a broad title. I think it's important to kind of get a perspective on what strength means to everybody.
I think to me, it's a really mental thing. It means kind of like having mental perseverance, especially when you're facing the peak of a problem. And I also think strength can be finding the courage to ask for help. Because I know that's something that can be really difficult for a lot of people. And it's really difficult for me, for, you know, like, not just physical therapy for my knee, but, like, I just do, like, regular therapy. It was hard to talk to my mom about that. So.
Yeah, I know how that feels. Definitely, when I was struggling back last year, it was very hard to open up to, especially my mom, because I didn't want to get my mom, you know, paranoid or, like, worried, and even just family in general, because I know that's just, I mean, I think both of our families are very similar in that way, where we kind of open up about mental health, I think, kind of turn flips a leaf and they kind of start worrying a little too much.
Yeah.
Even to like now, like with my mom, she's like every time I'm kind of like, you know, even if I'm tired, she's just like, what's wrong? What's wrong? Why are you upset?
Lots of questions.
Yeah, exactly.
Lots of worry.
Exactly.
Good place, though.
Yeah, exactly. And I guess your definition of strength is very similar to what I said last episode with, you know, the mental strength before physical strength. Do you think, for someone that doesn't believe in mental strength, do you think physical strength could take over your mental strength?
I think, I don't know, every detail about your recovery with your hip, but for me, I think, the physical part, recovering that with that was easier than the mental part of recovering. I felt even when my knee was fully back to 100%, I didn't fully feel like who I was. I kind of felt like an imposter on the field because I couldn't remember what to do after you probably know what that feels like, being off field for months. It's like, I don't know what I'm doing here.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, you've been fortunate enough to get back on the field. I'm still very far from that. But, you know, just definitely I know what it, like, I guess it's the opposite for me. What came harder for me was mental health. I never had a mental health crisis like I had last year. I never thought too deep about it. So, yeah, definitely I could see that point too. And then I guess we go into the main segment now. When you said you've gone through soccer injuries, I mean, what specifically have you gone through, and like, what was kind of your battle there?
So, in freshman year of high school, literally 2 days before tryouts, my left knee, I was in so much pain, my whole kneecap, it was killing me. And I talked to my mom about it. We went to the doctor. They said I had runner's knee. So that was kind of the first battle I had with my knee. And then November of sophomore year, it was my club season. We were playing, I don't remember what tournament it was. It was some final. I don't even remember anymore, which I guess is good. But I sprained my MCL. And that was the biggest injury for me, because that was the 4-month long process. I mean, I'm still I still get setbacks. I still tweak my knee now because of it. That was like the biggest thing for me with my knee. It just seems like every single year there's something with my knees, whether it's like overuse or just tweaking it, braining it, just pain. Like,
yeah, for sure. And I guess a good point that you brought up is setbacks. I know, at least for me as well, setbacks have been a major part with my recovery. Is that, you know, I can be close to playing soccer again, close to be running around, whatever it is, and then I get a setback. Perfect example is what happened recently. You know, I was on vacation, being a normal teenager, I got a setback, and now I got MRIs and CT scans. So I guess the question here is, like, when you go through your setbacks, I guess what's your, like, what kind of helps you to get through that setback?
My mom.
Yeah.
My mom was, like, the biggest person reminding me that, no, this isn't your whole life. Like, there's going to be an end at some point. I know it's not going to be tomorrow, but it's going to be there at some point. And then two of my best friends, Indy and Carly, they were so good at providing a distraction for it, because I think it's really important to find an outlet where I wasn't going to be thinking about it all the time. So, and then obviously my physical therapist for the actual recovery, but
yeah, for
the
sure.
Mental side.
I know you brought about physical therapists and friends. Yeah, for sure. When it comes down to support group, I think that's the most important thing really in recovery, is that you kind of find your people. Unfortunately, with my recovery, it was kind of the opposite. My family was my people, which is nice in some ways, but, you know, they're also there as, like, you know, to care for you. And so, like, it was hard to get, like, different opinions. And so definitely, like, physical therapy helped me with, you know,
having other people.
Yeah, having someone else. And then, like, I had my best friends. I mean, they know to an extent how hard it was for me to, you know, go through all the stuff. Same with my soccer team. I mean, I kind of separated myself from them because, you know, I didn't want to be near the field, just because I was like, I can't do this anymore. I can't, like, watch my team play and watch them grow.
Same here.
Stuck on the
Mine was, my MCL injury was at the end of November, so, like, luckily it was at the end of the season, but when school started, and I mean, you know how competitive school soccer is.
Yeah.
That was the journey in itself.
For sure. Yeah, I mean, yeah, I guess mine was, yeah, like you said, yours was in November, mine was in March, so, like, basically fresh out of the spring season, and so, you know, I didn't get to play, I mean, all of 2024, and then now most of 2025, so, you know, definitely an issue. But I guess, like, when you had your initial injuries, I mean, guess what was, like, when was, like, the moment you knew something was wrong, whether that was, you know, obviously physically or, you know, mentally?
Physically, I pretty much right away I could tell that I really messed my knee up, because it wasn't like there wasn't a pop or anything, but I mean, I got tackled pretty hard. It's kind of embarrassing because it was kind of low-key the smallest player on their team somehow injured me, but I was jogging back, and I was like, this doesn't feel right. This doesn't even feel like runner's knee. So, like, my coach shoved me off. I tried putting my compression sleeve on, but I don't know how to explain it. It felt like my knee wasn't in my leg, but it didn't hurt. It was just, like, extremely uncomfortable. Like, it was loose. So, that was... I mean, we went to the emergency room, like, literally left in the middle of my game, and it was kind of crazy. The doctor knew right away. He was like, oh, it's a between a grade 2 and 3 sprain. So apparently there's bone floating around in my knee somewhere, but that's my unique trait.
No, for sure. Like, I guess physically, when I knew something was wrong, I mean, like you said, I think when you physically know, your body knows when something's wrong. And, you know, I guess, like, as a competitive soccer player, I think both of us, I could speak for both of us, is that, you know, we played through, you know, whatever, sprained ankles, you know, whatever, broken toes, whatever it is.
Yeah,
like, we've played through minor injuries, and, you know, we always find a way to push through. But when you have an injury like this serious, and, like, that's when you know your body, like, your body tells you, you know, something's up, something's funky. And so, like, for me, like, obviously I had a pop sensation, so, like, I knew something was wrong just from that. But, you know, I just think you got to listen to your body a lot of the times when, you know, something is wrong, because it will tell you the truth. And
it won't go away. Yeah, exactly. Definitely, that's a feeling that does not go away.
Exactly. And I mean, I guess if we want to go from physical, I mean, mental maybe. I don't know how. I know my mental, I was very open with my mental health battle, so I'm not going to push you to say anything. But, you know, I guess when you come with, when you know something mentally was kind of, you know, when you're suffering from your injuries and, like, you know, being far from soccer and all that.
Yeah, I think, like, the hardest part mentally where I could tell, like, oh, I'm not myself right now, was when I was starting to get back into running. And I never thought, like, with my injuries in the past, I haven't had to do intense physical therapy, only therapy by myself at my house. So I never thought I would be someone that was like, oh, I'm scared to run at a pace of, like, 15 minutes per mile or whatever. But that was terrifying. And I was like, I don't feel like myself at all. I don't feel like the player that I was before I got injured. So I don't know. I think physical therapy, the peak of that was where I kind of was like, yeah, I'm not feeling mentally like I can do it. So that was difficult.
Yeah, that I would say definitely. I think for all injured athletes, I think physical therapy is probably the hardest part. Is, you know, when your body shuts off when you get hurt, like, seriously, and so, you know, it's turning it back on. And I remember, you know, like, the first time I was first go around where I was getting better at PT before my surgery, and I was, like, starting to run. I remember how difficult it was to train my mind to say that it was okay. And it's almost like, like, they use, a lot of physical therapies use, like, the abbreviation that, basically training a toddler how to, like, walk and stuff. And that's really how it is when you have a serious injury. Even after surgery for me was, like, the surgeon, everybody made it very clear that it's basically, like, when I'm recovering, I'm basically learning how to do everything, again, but doing it in a way that's comfortable to me, and that my mental, like, side will be like, all right, this is fine, like, you can push through.
Yeah, it's really hard to be patient with it, because I was like, no, I want to push myself, but I don't want to push myself too hard to where I'm like crying every single time I'm trying to run.
Yeah, for sure. And I guess to tie into, like, what you said about your sense of self when you knew, like, something was wrong, I guess how did you, like, kind of sense that when you felt like this was, like, you weren't yourself anymore? I guess, like, what was that feeling almost?
It was really just, like, lonely. I mean, I didn't feel like, obviously, every person that I know has gone through some sort of sports injury. But, like, in the moment, I think it feels like you're alone, even if you have support all around you. It's just lonely. You're like, I don't feel like anyone can relate to what I'm going through right now. And I had, like, my friends were really good about distracting me, but, like, I can't have my friends around me all the time. So it was hard to find, to get myself out of it, like, on my own, because I feel like it's important to build the resilience also for yourself to know, like, no, I can get myself through it.
Yeah, and I think that's definitely, like, super, you know, like, real in that way, is that, like, I don't know, just lack of patience, the ambition to get back on the field, and just feeling so lonely. I know that was definitely the biggest part for me, is that, like, I think what scared me away from the field so much is the fact that, like, I was just feeling lonely, because, like, I could see all of my teammates playing, I could see everything like that, and, you know, I'm, like, just sitting on the sideline with crutches in my hand. It's just, it was very, you know, like you said, very sense of, like, loneliness. And I mean, I think that goes back from anything, any trauma, really. I mean, whether that's, you know, injury, you know, assault, whatever it is, I know a sense, like, loneliness is probably the hardest emotion to go into. And I guess that also ties into the next question, is, like, what would you consider the hardest emotion that you had to face when you were going through this, like, this battle?
Loneliness was the hardest, but also, I think, frustration. I didn't really touch on that, but I was like, it feels like a mental block. Like, I think maybe, I don't know how it was for you, but, like, the first month of after I was injured, it felt like I was getting better at a really rapid pace, because I was on crutches, like, my whole leg was like, all the muscles were really tight, but like that went away pretty quickly. And then once I started physical therapy, it felt like it kind of plateaued. And I was really annoyed at myself. I was like, why can't I just do this exercise? Like, why do I feel like I know physically I can do it, but I don't know why I'm not letting my body try it, like, especially with running.
Yeah, I agree with loneliness. Definitely, like we said before, it's definitely one of the hardest emotions to go through. And I feel like also it's kind of almost like resent for yourself, and also like, was this injury my fault? I know that was the hardest issue for me, was, you know, especially in the beginning, is like trying to replay that what happened over and over and again. Be like, could I have done something different to like not let that happen? What could have I done to change that outcome? And I know, like, and even to this day, I still like have those thoughts where like I'm like what could I have done to make sure this injury never would have happened? Because like, could I stretch more? Whatever it was, I mean, eventually it kind of catches to you, like you can't do anything. I mean, and my PT reminded me numerous times, like you couldn't change what you did. I mean, that's just how your body's set up. And especially with my injury, it's like there's no way of getting out of that injury. It was going to happen eventually, whether it was soccer, running, golf, whatever it was. It was going to happen, and so that's just how you, like, your body's set up almost in that way.
Yeah, I made the mistake of going back and watching it on the film. Probably not my best decision. It was whenever it happened, I didn't even realize, like, when I went to cross the ball, I totally, like, spun around in a circle when I got tackled. And I think I blocked it out. I don't know why I went back and watched that, because that was a little traumatic.
Yeah. Luckily, my camera was broken during that game. It fell over. But yeah, like,
I wish.
I was like, if I had, oh my God, if I had that film, I'd be doing the same thing. I'd want to go back and watch and just watch that moment that, like, that just, you know, that snap. That
yeah. My mom was like, don't do it. Why are you watching that?
Yeah. Because I think it's just almost out of curiosity and like almost kind of proving yourself that, almost maybe like a way to prove it to yourself that, you know, this wasn't your issue. This wasn't your problem or something like that.
Yeah.
Whatever it was. I mean, and like I said, I think, you know, loneliness was definitely the number one, like number two for me. But I think resentfulness for myself, because I'm like, what, like I said, like, what could I have done to change that outcome? Like, it's like, especially I think later on, especially towards surgery, you know, I wanted surgery so bad because I was like, there's nothing that's going to fix me at this point. We've gone through every treatment possible. And so it's like, but still, like, going to surgery, I knew once I got out of surgery, this is going to be like one mountain to climb, and it's still probably pretty far down on the mountain. But I mean, just like, it's that just idea of like, what could have I done to change this injury?
Change what? Yeah, I feel the same way. I didn't even think about that when I was looking, and then like looking back at it, I'm like, wow. Especially at the beginning of it, I was just thinking about like, man, I wish what would have happened if I didn't dribble up the sideline? Like, what would have happened if I passed the ball to someone else?
Yeah, exactly. I mean, this is kind of a weird question. I mean, what felt like the most misunderstood part that you felt? Like, whether that's emotion, I guess it's more like emotionally, and then maybe physically. I mean, I guess doctors, if you had gone through multiple visits or something, like, I guess what was the most misunderstanding part that's, like, kind of hard for you to, was hard for you to, you know, deal with?
Yeah, I think, I feel like every single question I'm talking about physical therapy, but I think like my physical therapists were really encouraging. My family was really encouraging, but I felt like nobody could understand why I was so scared to try running. I felt like I was going to re-injure myself. And every single time, like, I felt a little twinge in my knee that, oh my gosh, this is happening all over again. And I don't know, a lot of people were telling me, no, you can do it. It's fine. You got this. And I'm like, I'm scared. So I mean, I don't know. I'm assuming you probably felt the same way with similar physical therapy things. Like, no, I am scared. Like,
yeah, for sure. And physical therapy, that was definitely a big part. But also, I think with the way my injury was set up, with the fact that I was so, like, I guess I was going up, then I would circle back down, then go back up and circle back down, and then stay down and then barely go back up. I think that it was when PT, like, they thought a lot of the times the surgeons, the PTs, all thought it was mental in a way. And then, you know, like, eventually, like, the tests all proved that it maybe was partially mental, but also, I mean, partially it was, you know, my physical, just how my body's made. But I definitely think the most misunderstood part for me and how I felt was actually just the feelings of, like, no one understood how I was feeling. No one understood, like, that the loneliness. No one understood the resentment. No one understood the pain. Like, I guess it was so hard to explain that to people and then them try to listen, be like, oh, I understand. I feel what you mean. Like, I mean, like, in reality, it's different. Like, that goes back to the reason why I made this podcast is that, you know, obviously no one can feel what you feel, but if there's some sort of support, whether that's like something that's close to, or like even like a sliver of what you've been through, I think that's just, I feel like that could be enough to kind of like push you to get better, or push you to make the next step.
Yeah, I mean, when I started my club, I was like, no, it would be such a good idea to get you to come and talk to everybody about it, because I think it's nice to hear the perspective from people your own age rather than just hearing adults come and talk to you about it. I think empathizing from the adults is really good, and it's really important to have a support group, but people your own age are just as important.
Oh, yeah, for sure. Yeah, I know how, like, yeah, I'm like, when people ask me, like, when I talk about, like, making the podcast and everything, making my book and all that, is that they're like, what's the reason behind it? Like, there's always a reason for it, and every single time my reason is that, you know, I love adults, I love the perspectives they give me, but, you know, this happened, whatever, 20, 30 years ago, and so, you know, it's hard to relate, because this, mm-hmm. Generations have changed so much, where, like, it's just, like, sports back then weren't as they are now, so, like, I think sports now, your mindset is only on your sport, and that's the only thing that you can think about, and, like, almost breathe in a way, and so, you know, I think it was just definitely hard to hear from adults, because, you know, just completely different times and different ways of, like, living.
Yeah, it's extremely competitive now, I think.
Yeah, for sure.
Sports, but, yeah.
Yeah. And then the last question for, like, the main segment part two is that, were there times where you kind of felt like giving up, even if you didn't? Like, was there just times where you kind of had that thought in the back of your mind that you're like, this is, like, I don't know what to do anymore. Like, I kind of feel almost helpless in a way.
Literally every single time I've tweaked my knee since coming back from my MCL injury, it's been like it's usually my left knee, but last October, I mean, I sprained my right knee. I literally sprained my right knee because I didn't lock my ankle on a cross. And I was like, this feels ridiculous. This feels like this wouldn't happen to anybody else on my team. Like, there's no way that I'm having to sit out for 3 weeks because they didn't lock my ankle on a pass. Like, a lot of those times last club season, I was kind of like, this feels like, should I just go play another sport? Should I go try golf or something where hopefully my knees will not be so stressed the whole time?
Yeah, for sure. And, you know, that definitely a big part of that was, I think we both have the same similarities in that part where, like, you know, starting to get back to it and then kind of a relapse almost, where it's like, kind of, I don't know, it kind of just sets you back, be like, why am I keep on doing this? And I think I had a different, I think based on the last episode, I think a lot of people understand that I had definitely a different perspective on giving up. You know, my giving up was a lot more, I guess, vulgar in a way, you know, like self-harm, and then also, you know, like the suicidal thoughts and idolizations. Like, that was my version of giving up. And I know it's very severe, but, you know, I think to a point where, like, when your identity, it kind of goes back to the adult part, it's like when our identities are so wrapped into one thing and you lose that one thing in a split second, it's like, what who are you now? And I think that was the hardest part for me, was that, you know, when I didn't know who I was anymore, it's like, that's when I felt like, kind of like, why am I here right now? Or what's going on? Like, because there's no, in my head during those times, there was no reason. I didn't have a reason at that point. I didn't have like a voice in my head that's saying like, there's a reason why you're here. Like that, the only thing that I thought at that time was that I'm meant to be an athlete. I'm meant to play soccer for the rest of my life. Obviously that's not accurate, but that's how my mental, like, I don't know. That's how my mentality was wired during that time.
Yeah. I think that's what it feels like. I think it would help if it wasn't so competitive, if youth sports weren't so competitive, if it wasn't like, oh, if I want to go play another sport, you're not going to get cut from your team or you're going to be benched or something crazy like that. Like, I mean, when you, did you play freshman?
Yeah.
Year? Yeah. So, I mean, school soccer, like, that was the hardest thing for me. Like, as a freshman, I was like, oh, this is really, this sounds bad, but it's like, oh, third round of subs. This feels very intense to be a 14-year-old and I'm not getting playing time on JV. And then, like, it's all you're thinking about all the time and you feel like you need to be training all the time so that you're not on the bench the whole game. But I don't know. That made me think of,
yeah, for
the
sure,
competitiveness.
For sure. And also, like, you know, there's now these all different levels. I mean, like, you know, got for soccer, you got MLS Next, MLS 2, whatever, ECNL, all those, like, top levels. And it's just kind of like almost like, you know, like feeding almost like a drug, like almost feeding an addiction at that point where you're going to play the best talents in the world. But, and that's what goes back to the mentality. Like, I know so many people that have the mentality that soccer's life. And that soccer is the only thing that they have for even basketball, whatever it is. Like, they have that mentality where that's their life. And when they don't make a team, when they don't, you know, if they get injured, even like if it's a small injury, like they don't know really what's next for them. And that's what kind of that's the point that I want to emphasize both in this podcast and in my book, was that, you know, you have to have something beyond your main passion, because I think we could speak for both of us that once that's taken away in that split second, it's kind of like your world is basically flipped upside down.
Yeah. I don't know. Do you play any instruments? I play piano, and I love my piano teacher. Like, that was my safe space for, like, 4 months, so.
Oh, yeah, for sure. And I know a couple of people that play, like, guitar and stuff as, like, their, you know, extra passion. And I think I found mine with, you know, public speaking, writing books, like, all that. I found that through, you know, speaking my side. And so, you know, I think it's just the point that the idea of finding something beyond your main passion is just so important, in that it needs to be more emphasized in, you know, regular day life, and that it needs to be emphasized to, like, all the teens that play competitive sports, is that, you know, it takes a split second for you to kind of basically flip your world upside down.
Yeah. I think creative outlets are good. Yeah, any way to safely get out what you're feeling.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, what helped you kind of start to heal when you, I mean, obviously your body started healing by itself, mm-hmm. and obviously it tweaks back, but, you know, I guess what helped you mentally recover, and what helped you mentally, like, become almost yourself again?
Yeah, I mean, I'm not going to talk too much about my family, because I feel like it's a given. They were, like, amazing, like, an amazing support group for, especially at the beginning, just, like, they were constantly there. Like, I vividly remember the day after I got injured, my mom and my sister made me breakfast and, like, brought it to me in my bed. And it's, like, just little things like that. It makes it a lot easier to keep working on recovery. But a really big thing was my therapist, like, my mental therapist. She, like, having an unbiased view, and, like, just a person to come in and talk to, and, like, an outlet for you to share your frustrations without feeling like you might be getting judged, and also just giving me strategies to cope with what I was feeling and the loneliness. And it was the worst for me at night, like, because it's like there's nobody there for you to talk to, and it's just like you're sitting there with your thoughts. And so having her be like, no, you need to, like, go to bed early, like, go watch a TV show you love, like a comfort show. Make sure you're hanging out with your friends all the time. Like, it was good to have somebody to give me strategies to deal with it.
Yeah, for sure. And, you know, I agree with that with, you know, therapy was a big thing that helped me heal, as well as family. And, you know, I think family, you know, like you said, is a given. But for, like, the listeners who don't really have or don't feel like they have that, you know, it kind of goes back to, like, that main passion thing is, like, you know, just explore other options. Because for me, what helped me start healing was, you know, my dad's words saying, like, how life would be if I wasn't there, or even where my if my sister wasn't there. And then also, you know, the like this little voice in my said that you're here for a reason, even if it's not athletics, whatever, academics, business, whatever it is, that like you're here for a reason. You just gotta, you know, spend the time to figure it out. And for me, it took, you know, it took me a while to figure that out. You know, it took me like, you know, it took me even after surgery to figure out that, like, hey, like being like talk like medical field, talking, you know, about my trauma, talking about everything, you know, that it took me a long time to realize that. And you just gotta give yourself, you know, the time, and, you know, you have to be patient with yourself and understanding with yourself that, like, you know, it's gonna happen. You're gonna find something that clicks with you, and it might take all different things. Like, you might, you know, start playing an instrument and it might not be your favorite thing, and then you might find something good with like cooking or baking. Like, it's just, you know, like, you just have to be patient with yourself, and you have to try new things and find something that you kind of, that kind of flows with you and like resonates with you.
Yeah. Even now, I find it really difficult to separate my life from soccer. It just feels like it's just like all consuming. I mean, even in summer when you're like, oh, this should be my break. No, it's like off season workouts, and now we're doing technical training, and it's fun, but it's a lot. So
yeah, exactly.
Yeah, I agree with everything you said about needing to find something you enjoy outside of your sport.
Yeah, sport, academic, whatever it is, something that, like, I know there's people that obviously sports are not their thing. Whether, I mean, something, maybe it's banned. Like, you don't know. Like, you could gain arthritis in your left hand while you're playing the trumpet. Like, whatever it is. This sounds kind of funky, but, like, I'm just like, it's another example, is that, like, if you need to just find something that's like that's beyond that, you think that's why you're here. Like, some people just think athletics is why they're here, or whatever, the trumpet's why they're here. You just gotta branch out. And I know how difficult it is. It took me a long time, like I said, but, you know, you just gotta be, you know, willing. You gotta open up yourself and learn that, you know, that it's okay to try new things, and it's okay to, like, fail at some things and whatever it is.
Yeah, I think something that comes with that is, like, if you have a new interest that you find where other people are involved, I think you can find a lot of new people that you can be friends with that aren't going to be connected to whatever that sport, like you said, academic, whatever that thing is that's, like, causing you a lot of pain and frustration.
Yeah. I guess, what was something that you found surprising about yourself during, like, the healing process, and even after the healing process? I guess, what's something that's surprising?
This is probably very naive of me, or was very naive of me, but I thought that, you know, once I played my first game after injury, I was like, oh, this is it. No more knee issues for me. And then the surprising part was just having the setbacks, like, every other month or every season or whatever it was. I was like, oh, I thought we were done with this, but no, this might sound kind of negative, but I feel like once you have an injury, it's really important to focus on strengthening it. And I don't think I did enough of that, stretching, stuff like that. And I think that kind of impacted me continuing to face setbacks. But that was definitely something that naively I was surprised about.
Yeah. Yeah, and I completely agree with that. I completely relate with that, is that, you know, you can't, I guess, like you said, like, that naive mentality is, like, you, when you have an injury, you kind of have to expect, you know, what I heard the most when I was going through my injury is, like, don't think negative, think positive. And, you know, there's a good point where you can think positive, but you don't want to fill yourself with positive thoughts, like, you're going to be back to playing soccer, you're going to be back to your sport, back to whatever you're doing, in a certain time frame, because, believe me, that time frame is a big lie, is that, you know, for me, I was supposed to be back fully healed in 6 months from my surgery. Here I am almost 9 months, and I'm still very, 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 very far from being, you know, I guess, healthy again. And so, I mean, it's just kind of like, yeah, I mean.
Yeah, mine's on a much smaller scale than you. They were like, oh, 1 month, you'll be back. And it was like 5.
Yeah, exactly.
And I was like, this just, but yeah, it makes me really mad when people are like, think positively all the time. And I think it's okay to be upset.
Yeah, and it's okay to think, like, I feel like it's okay to think negative, because to me, I mean, you don't, I guess you don't want to, I always live by the mindset last year is that, you know, I try, like, whenever everybody's like, oh, why are you being so negative? It's like, I'm just preparing myself for the worst, because I've been through so much kind of, like, I guess, BS in this way. It's like, you had people like, I had doctors saying that, you know, I don't need the surgery, that I'm going to be perfectly fine. And I had doctors that say, I need the surgery. There's no way I'm going to be able to be fixed without it. And so it's just like, I don't know. It's kind of,
it's frustrating, especially when it comes from somebody who hasn't experienced anything like that. So you're kind of like, no, but it doesn't, you don't understand exactly the emotions I'm going through and the physical, like, just frustration of the whole experience.
Yeah,
so.
For sure. And I mean, you found the injury was very surprising. Honestly, to me, that was something that was surprising that I found after the healing process is, like, you know, how, I guess, how I can, you know, be confident, but while also being like, you know, I never knew I could write. I guess that was kind of cool, like, when figuring out that I could write. And the first thing that I wrote, it wasn't even my book. It wasn't even writing that. It was about my sister and what she's gone through. And, like, the moment that I realized I could write is when I saw my dad crying for my writings. And I was like, because when you hear, like, when you have, like, I guess, a male figure in your life, their idea, like, you know, males don't, their idea, yeah, the stereotype, yeah. They don't cry, they don't, they're like big, strong guys.
Emotions.
Yeah, exactly. And so, like, when I saw my dad show his emotions, I was like, all right, this could mean something.
Yeah.
And so that's when I, like, started writing my book and stuff. So that's definitely something, like, I guess that was super surprising that I found about myself, is like, all right, I can actually kind of write. So that's super cool.
My dad writes too, so
yeah,
I've definitely seen it be really impactful.
Yeah, for sure. Are there any moments where you catch yourself kind of your old, like, you catch yourself being your old self, or like something that your old self might have not done, like your, I guess, your new self?
This is kind of like shallow, more on like the physical level, but I make sure I'm stretching more. Like, that's so simple, and that I don't think it's something that anyone would ever think about. That doesn't really have to deal with, like, my mental health, but it really has helped my knees a lot. And I didn't realize that something so little could actually make such a big impact on me playing. So that's really small, but
no, I mean, definitely, you know, I think, you know, like, even physically, like, stretching or whatever, strengthening, whatever it is, like, getting that extra work in almost could definitely, you know, I guess, benefit from your old self. For me, like, something that I've seen that's different from my old self is kind of, like, my personal belief is that, like, you know, I think personal confidence goes a long way. I mean, obviously, there's a point where you can be too confident, like, you're like, I'm the best at this and this, but, like, for me, all my confidence lied in soccer, and that's how I became such a, like, that's, like, when people saw me and talked to me, I was confident. I was, like, yeah, like, not overly confident, but I was confident enough to talk to people. And then once this injury rolled around, like, I lost all that confidence. And then, you know, I luckily had people after my surgery, and when I learned that I couldn't play soccer anymore, I had people to kind of pick me back up. And then, you know, eventually you start losing people and you start losing friends and whatever it is. And you kind of realize that, like, that self-confidence, you know, you gotta kind of find it in yourself. You got to find that, like, you know, you got to find it in yourself.
Strength.
Yeah, inner strength. And that's something that, you know, I think that's definitely different from me, from my old self, is that, like, you know, I guess I used to turtle up whenever I got into, like, something that was anxious or something that was, like, hard for me to talk about. I would turtle up and not want to come out of it. And so now, like, whenever I face this kind of something that's hard for me to talk about, something that's hard to, you know, discuss, you know, I challenge myself to make sure that that doesn't happen again, because I know how difficult it is to be on the other side and seeing, like, someone that you love, someone that you care for, you know, getting upset and, like, just not wanting to talk again.
Yeah, that's really interesting, because it's not something that I've really thought in depth about before, but, like, thinking about the person I was as a freshman compared to where I am now, if you had told 14-year-old me, oh, you made the decision to start a club and actually, like, want to talk to people and, like, make presentations, which you used to be terrified to do in classes, like, I would have said, you're insane. But I do think like, recovery process is really helpful for building self-confidence.
Yeah, for sure. And honestly, I think something that's important that you brought up to me even through, like, texting is, like, your club. So, I mean, would you like to elaborate on, like, what your club is and, you know, how you formed it and, I guess, you know, like, the why you formed it?
Yeah, so I got the idea, like, around last December. I'd been talking to my mom a little bit about it because, like, throughout junior year, I was like, I really want to start a club, but I don't know what I want to talk about, because I like the idea of having, like, more leadership and being able to make decisions for the club and create activities that I haven't been able to do with other clubs that I'm in so far. So it was literally, like, right when we started winter break or Christmas break or whatever, and I was texting my friend Carly. I was like, hey, how would you feel about starting an athlete mental health awareness club with me? Because, I mean, she has had really bad ankle issues. Obviously, like we talked about, I had really bad knee issues. And I remember thinking, like, when I was going through the injury, I didn't have, like, a good support group of friends to talk to. And we were like, oh, we're hoping that if we create this club, it could be a good outlet for people to talk about their journey. And so we emailed whatever teacher was, like, in charge of that, and we started meeting, I think in March we started meetings. But I mean, Carly and I are really hoping that we can do some sort of fundraiser next year. And we've done activities, like, I mean, you came in and talked, which that was probably one of my favorite things that we did, because I really wanted to do student guest speakers. We've also, like, done a lot of, like, like, making positive notes, putting them in locker rooms. Like, I think, I don't know about you, but I just love reading, like, little positive notes of affirmation, because I think they're a really good way to start your day or to make your day better. But, yeah, that was pretty much the idea behind it.
Which is super cool, and I think that's even, like, I think I can speak for anybody that's listening. I think that's just super cool, and how you kind of, you know, challenge yourself against, like, adversity, and, you know, and that shows, like, kind of, like, character, and shows, like, who you are. And, you know, I guess, like, we share similar things, as, like, you know, for me is the podcast, the book, you know, challenging myself against something that's super difficult for me to do. And so, you know, I think it just shows, like, you know, it takes a long time. You know, yours didn't happen, you said, yours happened last year. You know, that there was a long time, you know, months,
it was
years,
like a year, yeah,
that you realized that, okay, like, you can kind of flip a leaf. And so I think, you know, like I said, going back to what I said earlier, is, like, you just have to have patience yourself, and you have to have patience, like, belief that with yourself, that you're going to be able to make it through, and that you're going to be able to, like, you know, change something, whether that's your trauma or whatever it is, or prevent trauma. You know, like, you just got to be patient with yourself. You got to be open to new things, and, you know,
I didn't get anything good out of my knee injury until that, except for maybe, like, resilience and stuff like that. But
yeah,
I mean,
exactly.
You're doing the same thing, so
yeah,
it's cool.
Yeah. If you would go back in time and talk to yourself before you went through your injury and all that, what would you say?
I would probably tell myself, patience. It's not gonna be, like, a week-long process, and your issues aren't gonna go away overnight. It's gonna be a long process, but if you're patient with yourself and if you don't push yourself too hard, it's going to get better. And it's going to be really bumpy. And I mean, I know for you, you haven't reached the end of it yet, but I don't know. I guess I could say it to you too, to be patient with yourself, because it's going to get better.
Yeah, for sure. And I completely agree with the patient part. You know, I think that's such a crucial thing, is you got to be patient with yourself. You got to be, you know, understanding with yourself that, you know, this is, you got to be able to heal. Like, I remember what my aunt said to me is that, you know, you have all these people saying, like, they want you to heal, they want you to do this and that, but, you know, you got to give yourself time to heal. And that stayed with me, you know, even to this day, like, those words that she told me, like, it just resonates with me so much. And that, you know, those words, like, really helped me get through, you know, even though I'm super, super far, that, like, it really helped me get to, you know, the point where I'm at. And then I think if I was to go back in time, you know, I think the biggest thing I would tell myself is find something that's not soccer, because, you know, I guess before this injury, I never realized how much soccer was, you know, my armor, my, you know, identity, everything, like I said. And, you know, when I was going through bullying and being bullied and stuff back in middle school, you know, soccer and my soccer family saved me from, you know, going through any mental health issues, because it was just such a way for me to escape and feel kind of like, I guess, free in a way. And so if I was to go back in time, I would just tell myself, you know, think of something that's not soccer related. You know, I have no idea what I would have done back then, because I'm surprised where I am now. But, you know, I'm not sure. Like, I think that's such an important thing that needs to be emphasized, you know, to so many teenagers, especially, like I said, competitive athletes of that nature. You just need, I guess you need to find something that's just not, that's not a reason for you to be here. Like, branch yourself out almost.
Yeah. Find an outlet.
Yeah, exactly. And then what are some things that you would want a listener to take away from your story?
I would say, I mean, like, I guess specifically if you're going through an injury, build a strong support system. And I don't mean just people. I mean, like, what you were just talking about with activities and things to do. Like, I mean, I love baking. I love playing piano. Like, I used to do theater. It was super fun. I have made some of my best friends from that. And I think with that will come other really good new people that you can talk to. And then your best friends, if you don't have best friends, new people that you will get, that you will meet from branching out and finding new activities to do.
Yeah, and that's basically that I would say too, is just you got to learn how to branch out. You got to learn how to, you know, like I said, find something that's beyond your main passion. And I think something else to add to it is that you got to find what strength means to you. You know, I could say that because it's the title of the story, like the title of my podcast. But, you know, I think people, a lot of athletes, a lot of teenagers think that, you know, mental strength stems from physical power. And it might take, you know, unfortunately, it might take some sort of trauma for them to realize that that's not completely accurate. Definitely yeah. Part of it, but mental strength is really what strength really is, because in order for you to achieve, you know, being like whatever, physically fit, best mm-hmm. soccer player, best football player, you have to have the right mindset, you have to have the right heart. And so, you know, I think that's something that is, you know, crucial to something to take away.
Yeah.
All right, well, this is the end of this episode. I want to thank you so much for coming on the podcast, and I definitely think the listeners will definitely enjoy this episode.
Yeah, I really enjoyed it. Thank you.
Of course.